Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And I want to read this particular one today from the Complete Jewish Bible. Again, that's Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And it says, "What has been is what will be. What has been done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there something of which it is said, 'See, this is new'? It already existed in the ages before us. No one remembers the people of long ago, and those to come will not be remembered by those who come after them." Did you ever stop to think about memories? We just had a memory shared with us a few moments ago. And a lot of us, as we're going through our life, we have memories that come back. And sometimes maybe you're driving down the highway and you have memories of things that have taken place and events maybe that you have gone to. And we have memories of past events or people that flood our mind. Some of these memories are good. Some are not so good. Some memories are funny, and some things are sad. We hear a lot about memories, and you know, it's kind of interesting. On television, sometimes they have programs that bring back memories of things in your youth or things that you can recall. And like, for example, I grew up in what was the beginning of the age of rock and roll, which is nothing like what it is today, I'll tell you that. It was tame back then. But sometimes they have some programs on that have those old singers from that, you know, and they come on and you can see them. And here they are now, they're 60, 70 years old, some of them. And you watch this program and memories flood, you know. Well, I remember hearing this song back when, you know. Or maybe some of you, how many of you remember a program called Lawrence Welk? Just about everybody here. My youngest daughter, when she was little, that was one of her favorite programs. And it was a nice, interesting program because, you know, it really, back in its day, he had a lot of moral character, and he refused to let certain things be done, certain things to be said. And so as we watch that, sometimes it brings back some of these memories of maybe some things that happened back in those days when you were watching that particular program, or maybe some other events that took place. I know sometimes I can hear a song, and it brings back a memory. How many of you remember the song that was the number one song in the nation the night you graduated? Now, that's a trivial memory, isn't it? But how many of you remember that? I'm the only one here that does. Well, I'm not going to tell you what it was. But that's just one of those things that I remember, you know, that comes back every once in a while. And we have these memories. There's a song that we used to sing, and it was not a regular congregational song, but it was one that was sang by various groups. And it starts off, "Oh, how well do I remember all those days I spent in sin, with no thought of doing all the things I should. Then the blessed Savior came, and he gently took me in." And I'm going to shout hallelujah. I feel good. I'm having to get cues on that because I couldn't quite remember it. But you know, that's the thing, you know. We have these memories. And like I say, some of the things that we remember were things that weren't so good. These are things that we did when we were walking in sin. And sometimes the devil brings back these memories, and it comes in and it floods our mind and causes us to have difficulty because of these memories that come back. But you know what? They're all under the blood of Jesus if you're a Christian.
Amen.
God speaks a lot about memories or remembrance or recall throughout the Bible. In fact, in the King James Version, the word remembrance is mentioned 55 times. Remember 149 times, memory 7 times, and recall 1 time. God wants his people to remember him and what he has done. And unfortunately, we as God's creation fail a lot of times to remember the blessings that God has given us. Even sometimes as Christians, as born-again believers, we fail to recall and to remember how God has blessed us. A lot of people will cry out to God in their time of need, and God answers that need, even though they're not a Christian sometimes. And it's all done with, and they think, well, I don't need God anymore, and they forget all about God. Sometimes Christians do the same thing. God, I need this. Well, God, I'll get back to you next time I need you. You know, that's kind of the way we get sometimes. We fail to recall, we fail to remember the blessings that God has given us. In Numbers chapter 15, verses 37 through 40. Again, Numbers chapter 15, verses 37 through 40. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. And it shall come, or it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them, and what ye seek not after your own heart, and your own eyes, after which you used to go a-whoring, that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. Back when Moses was leading the children of Israel, God's chosen people, out of Egypt's bondage, and they're on their way to the promised land, God speaks and says, I want you to make this garment. It's what we call the prayer shawl today. And it's to be a certain way, and it's to have these fringes. And it's to have this ribbon of blue in the fringe. And you are to remember when you see these, all the commandments. And we watched a video not too long ago here at the church about the meaning of the prayer shawl and what those fringes meant and what all the knots in the fringes meant and all the various things and details it had to do with it, because it was to help them recall what God had done for them. Yet as we look back in the scripture and we look back into the Old Testament, we find even after all of this, there were times when God's people forgot God. They no longer remembered what God had done for them. And it's not a whole lot different with Christians today, that we forget what God's done for us. If today just the Christians, and I put quote marks around that, would remember what God has done for them, all churches would be full. Because we'd be here celebrating, worshiping, giving glory and honor to God for what he's done for us. And I know there are times that people have to miss church. Maybe they're sick, as some are today. Some have to work, sometimes on Sunday, and we understand that. Sometimes there's an event that comes up that you have to be out. But as a whole, a lot of people who say, well, I'm a Christian, have forgotten God, and they're not in the house of God because they fail to remember what God has done for them. David, greatest king of Israel, wrote in the book of Psalms, and I'll read these again from the Complete Jewish Bible, about remembrance. He said, sing praises to Adonai, you faithful of his, and give thanks on recalling His holiness. He's admonishing us that we are to remember what God has done for us and that we are to sing praises unto Him. Just as we do in the worship service this morning, we sing praises unto God and we recall through those praises what God has done for us. And we give Him thanks for what He's done for us. Psalms 97:12 says, "Rejoice in Adonai, you righteous, and give thanks on recalling His holiness." We are to be thankful to God. You know, too many times I think, even as Christians, born-again believers, when we have a need, the first thing we do is, "Well, God, I need this. God, I need that. God, I need, I need, I need, I need." When we should be saying, "Father, I am so thankful for what you have done for me. Oh, and I am so thankful for the blessings that you have bestowed upon me. I am so thankful for all the things that you've done in my life. And Father, even though I have a need now, I know, Father, that you can bless. Father, you can meet that need." And giving a little lesson yesterday, if you're good, you get more than if you're bad. If you give thanks, you get more than if you don't give thanks. And it's a lesson we teach our children. But it also, if God loves to hear our praises, God wants to hear us give Him thanks, God wants us to recall in our memory all the things that He's done for us. God remembers His people. You say, "But yeah, He's God, you know, He's got this supernatural memory that only God can have and all of these things." But here's what it says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. "Then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon His name." God remembers what you have done for Him. Sometimes, quite honestly, things you do as a child of God and as a Christian to help others is not always remembered by people. Sometimes we are quick to forget. But the Bible tells us, even if we give a cup of cold water in His name, God writes that down. Aha! Larry gave a cup of cold water to Steve when Steve was thirsty and dehydrated. Steve may not even remember it weeks later, months later. No one else may remember it. But when Larry stands before God, God will look at that book of remembrance and say, "Larry, I remember the day that you did that. And you were a blessing in that particular case. I remember that thing." And even though we may go through times in our life that we feel we're unappreciated. Anybody here ever feel unappreciated? Yeah? We all feel unappreciated, I think, at one time or another. You go into work sometimes, and boy, that's a place that you can really feel unappreciated. You go in and you work like a slave sometimes. Do they appreciate it? Not always. No, as long as you're bringing in the bucks, it's fine. But if you're not bringing in the bucks the way they think, it doesn't matter how good or whatever, you're not appreciated. But God appreciates what you do in His service. And God remembers what you do. He has that book of remembrance. Jesus, in speaking to His disciples in Luke chapter 22, verse 19, as they were gathered for that last meal, which we call the Last Supper at Passover, just before His crucifixion, Luke 22, 19, it says, "And He took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Then Paul goes on to write in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 through 25. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." And that's why we have what we call the communion service, that time when we gather and the bread and the cup is passed and we partake of that, and we do that in remembrance of what Jesus did on the cross for us. We remember that it was his body that was hung upon the cross. It was his blood that was the sacrifice, the covering for our sin. And that's why we have that, because we remember what he did for us. Too many times we were forgetful of what God has done for us. We are a blessed people because God loves us and he remembers us. Jesus also told his disciples that he wasn't going to be physically here on earth with them, but for a period of time. But when he went away, he said, "I am not going to leave you alone, but I'm going to send you a comforter, a paraclete, someone that will be with you." We read in John 14, 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." And there are times as Christians that we need that Comforter in our lives to help us, and he brings these things to our remembrance. Did you ever get into a situation and it seemed like you had no idea what to do, and all of a sudden God impresses upon your heart through the Holy Spirit and your mind, and you begin to speak words that you hadn't even thought about, explaining what needs to be explained, as God through the Holy Spirit puts those words into your mouth, because he's not going to leave you hung out to dry. We go back into the time of the early church, and we can see a lot of examples from that, from history that we read. Here was a people that went through great persecution for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And times as they were persecuted, like some of the people in churches around the world today are being persecuted, there were times came that the Holy Spirit, I believe, came upon them and supernaturally enabled them as they were going through these times and gave them the words to speak. Imagine some of them as they stood being burned alive at the stake, still being able to sing praises and give glory unto God. Man in the natural can't do that. You'd be screaming and hollering, begging for mercy and all kinds of things. But they were able to stand there as the Holy Ghost came upon them. And I believe the Bible shows us, history shows us, God gave them supernatural strength during that time to withstand what was going on. And as their life was taken from them, I believe God then welcomed them into his presence and says, "I remember what you've done for me." And the same thing will happen to each one of us if we should pass from this mortal body and go into his presence before the rapture comes. We will come and we will stand before God, and God will say, "I remember you." Or he will look at you and say, "I never knew you. And I sure don't want to hear those last words." Paul writes, oh, of the day that he'll say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Why? Because he remembers what you have done for him. And whether you have been that good and faithful servant, he remembers our works, our deeds, Acts chapter 10, verses 30 through 31, and Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting unto this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. What's he saying here? He is saying God remembers the compassion, the benefaction, the helping of the poor, the things that you have done. And your prayer is answered. If you read back, this Cornelius was a Gentile. But Cornelius helped the early church. He helped the Jews. He blessed God's people. And God said, as Cornelius is going through this thing, Cornelius, I remember what you have done for my people. I remember these things, and your prayer, your need now is met. And this is what I want you to do. God remembers. Paul instructs his spiritual son Timothy quite a bit. And we as spiritual sons of God, daughters of God today, we need to pay attention to what Paul had to say to his spiritual son. And he writes in 1 Timothy 4, 6 through 7, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. In other words, Timothy, if you remind them of the things of God, if you remind them of my word, if you remind them of what I have put in your heart, if you remind them of how to be a good Christian, if you remind them of these things, you're doing good. Ignore old wives' tales and fables. And a lot of times we hear a lot of old wives' tales and fables going around. But he said, you stick to the word of God, basically. You stick to the things of God, and if you do that, you're doing good. We need to stick to the things of God today. And in too many places, we're sticking to a lot of things that have nothing to do with the things of God. He goes on. 2 Timothy 1, 5 through 6. When I call to remember, to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Now I looked that up, but in another translation it comes down to the laying on of hands, or the ordination, or the authority. If you stir up the authority that is in you, and too many times today we as Christians are not stirring up the authority that God has given us. And that's why the devil runs rampant in a lot of places. Because we have not stirred up the gift that's within us. We have not stirred up the authority that's within us that we can withstand the powers of the onslaught that comes against us. Because you see, unfortunately, the American church has not gone through some of the things that some other churches in other parts of the world have gone through. We've had it easy in a lot of ways. Yes, I remember stories, and I never witnessed this, but it's before my time. But back in the early days of Pentecost in the 20th century, starting with Azusa Street and around that time, those people were made fun of. They were persecuted. And I can even remember when I was young, a young man, somebody coming and saying to my mother, such and such church up the road is having a revival. It's a Pentecostal church. Let's go up there and make fun of them. Well, my mother kind of set her straight. But that's been about the worst of the persecution that we've gone through. But yet Christians in other countries face great persecution. They face putting their lives on the line. They face not having things available to them that we have today. And they say, I need God in my life. I only survive because God is in my life. We need that authority. There's a song that we sing occasionally here at this church, and we sang only the chorus of it. And I looked it up and found the verses. But we need to be in remembrance of the things that God has done. That song is, "Look what the Lord has done. Look at what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. I'm going to praise his name. Each day he's just the same. Come on and praise him. Look what the Lord has done." I told my wife that that was a song I wanted to have sung at my funeral when I passed on. And she told me she didn't really think that that one would be appropriate. But you know what? I'm thankful for what God has done in my life. Well, the verses go on to say, "The lame man sat outside the gate, begging alms of those who entered in." Now, Peter and John, they came upon him, the lame man expecting from them. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee." Right then the Spirit touched him, and he leapt to his feet, saying, "Look what God's done for me." Can you just imagine that? He's been there all his life, unable to walk. And Peter and John came by and said, "I don't have any money, but what I do have I give unto you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." And he began to jump and leap about as God's Spirit came upon him. Oh, look what the Lord has done. He went to the church, to the temple, and said, "Look what the Lord has done." And they almost ran him out of town. "What? We can't have this healing of stuff on the Sabbath." Well, when are you supposed to have it? When do we put limitations upon God? He was excited because of what God had done for him. Verse 2 goes on to say, "I was bound by chains of darkness and sin. I had no hope or peace of mind. Though my sins were red as scarlet, he washed them white as snow and opened my blind eyes. And now my soul will rejoice since I've made him my choice." You see, I've got peace, or joy, peace, and everything that's within. You see, my name's been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Can't you see what God's done for me? If your name's written down, what God has done for you. Thank you. Oh, he's done such great things for you. If nothing more, that when you come and you surrender your life to God and your name gets written down in that book of life, if nothing good ever happens to you throughout your mortal days on planet Earth, look what God has done for you. Too many times, though, we want to go around crying and whining and complaining like spoiled little children. "God, I didn't get this." God's gave you already the best gift there was available in all of eternity. And that was when he gave Jesus to die for your sins. Look what God has done for you. He also brings some warnings to our remembrance. 2,000 years ago almost, on the Isle of Patmos, John, one of the last, in fact, the only one of the apostles that died of old age. All the others were martyred. He's here in exile. And he says, "And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." He was worshiping God on the Lord's day. He was letting the Holy Spirit come into his life and lead him to places above and beyond on the Lord's day. and God begins to reveal things to him. In Revelation chapter 16, verses 17 through 21, and it says, "And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, 'It is done.' And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, not as was since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nation fell down. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men great hail out of the heavens, every stone about the weight of a talent." And by the way, a talent can be between 60 to 100 pounds. "And men blasphemed God because of the plague of hail, for the plague thereof was exceedingly great." This is an event that is yet to come. But many times before these events come, we see the precursors to them. We see the things leading up to it. And we see today changes taking place on planet Earth. Events transpiring, earthquakes, tsunamis, volcanic eruptions. My wife and I were watching a program on TV just a few nights ago, and it had to do with the earthquake and the tsunami that struck Japan last year. And just to see the horrendous power of that water as it came in. Things like that. And that's nothing compared to the one that he said is going to come. This year throughout the South, here in Tennessee, we've had some unusual late winter, early spring weather. I got caught in a hailstorm the other day. First time I've ever been in a hailstorm like that, where it hailed continually. Oh, and I thought it was never going to end. And I was praying, "God, please don't let my car get damaged out here." And I'm continuing to drive down the highway, and there's so much hailstones on the highway, the car is sliding a little bit as I'm driving along. Things like that. Talk to people. Not seen anything like this before. Wait till it's 70-pound hailstones. You talk about golf ball size hailstones and the damage they can do. Think what a 70-pound hailstone will do. One stone would destroy a house. And these are things that are to come. God wants us as people to remember these are events that are to come, but he also wants to let us know there's a way for us to escape those events. And that's by giving our heart and life to Jesus Christ. That's by letting him take control of our lives. Will we see some of these other precursors that lead up to what's happening there? Yes, we possibly will. We're seeing some of them now, I believe. Doesn't mean that we will escape seeing all of them, but we can know that our God's still on the throne and that our God cares us and he loves us and he takes care of us and that he has got a better place prepared for us. God remembers these things. God remembers the good and the bad. People don't stop to think about that. The bad things are going to be the ones that are going to stand before him. And he's going to say, "I never knew you." And they'll go into a judgment. But we as Christians who stand before God, we will stand for our reward. And he will remember the good things that we've done. Because you see, the Bible tells us he doesn't remember these things that we did when we were in sin. He doesn't remember those things that are covered by the blood of the Lamb. In fact, in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34, going all the way back to the Old Testament, even under the law, he said, "And thou shalt teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them. And saith the Lord, I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." When they came and they brought that sacrifice and that lamb was slain and the blood was sprinkled upon the altar, the sin that they had in their life was remembered no more. But that's kind of a tough thing, isn't it, to have to do that every year. Every year, bring that lamb. And God says, "I'm going to send my son. I'm going to send my son, and he's going to do it once and for all." And then in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 15 through 17, it says, "Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness unto us. For after that he had said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." If you don't want God to remember your sins and get them covered by the blood of the Lamb, that's the only way to get it done. Yes. And if you're listening to me today and outside this church, but whatever it means, and you've never surrendered your heart and life to Jesus Christ, I've got news for you. God remembers those sins. Great or small, he remembers them. But if you want to stand before God and have him not remember those things, then you've got to let Jesus into your heart. You've got to let him cover your sins by his blood, and God will remember them no more. And it's just as easy as saying, "I surrender." There's an old song we used to sing in the church, and maybe we need to start singing it again. "I surrender all to thee, my precious Savior. I surrender all." And when we surrender our life to Jesus Christ and we invite him into our heart, he comes in and his blood covers those things. And the things that happened yesterday that were sin, God says, "I remember that because it's covered. It's washed away." And today, if you're listening to me and you've not known Jesus, invite him in today. Surrender your life to him today. Let Jesus into your heart. And Father, I pray, those that are listening, Father, beyond these walls, that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Father, that today the Holy Spirit would speak to their hearts, and that there would be an abundant harvest today of souls for Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.